morning and welcome to Perspectives. You're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM, and you've tuned in to Perspectives with Reverend Kelvin Lumpkin. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Today we've got a great show for you. We've got the president of the State College of Florida, Dr. Lars Haffner. Dr. Haffner, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Dr. Haffner, there's a lot of great things going on at the State College of Florida, a lot of big changes. But before we get into all the great things that are happening at SCF, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the path that's led you to this point. You've had an interesting journey to get to this point.
Be glad to. It's first and foremost, it's been exciting to be appointed the president of State College of Florida about a year and a half ago, but my journey to get there brings unique perspectives to the job. I grew up basically in St. Petersburg, Florida, and through that process went to St. Petersburg Junior College at the time, and so I had a two-year college degree background, then went on to the University of Buffalo for my baccalaureate degree and University of Maryland for my graduate school. When I returned to St. Petersburg, I became a faculty member at St. Petersburg College and simultaneously got elected to the Florida Legislature, where I had the good luck to serve 12 years in the legislature,
wow,
being elected six times from the district. That was before term limits. Now it's 8 years and you're out, but I was able to serve an extra 4 years. And through that perspective, it gave me a different perspective on higher education and on the community college system as well. And I served all 12 years on the Appropriations Committee, which was unheard of as well. So,
wow. So
it gave me that background as well as the faculty background at St. Petersburg Junior College. I was then promoted into the administration, where I served several different roles as a vice president and as a provost before I was able to land this job down here. So what I like to say is I really bring a unique perspective to the community college system, which is now the state college system here in Florida, because I've seen it from all sides as a student, a faculty member, an administrator, and a policymaker, and not too many people can pull that all together to give it that unique perspective.
Yeah, well, Dr. Haffner, and we'll get into your time, and your tenure has been very brief, but it's been very eventful, and since you've taken the helm at State College of Florida, there have been a lot of big changes. You've hit the ground running. And being on the District Board of Trustees, I've had a front row seat to see all the great things that are happening at SCF. But chiefly among those changes is that now the college is not just offering 2-year associate degrees, but actually offering a bachelor's degree now. And man, that's a big change.
It is a big change, but it's also going to meet the demands of what the workforce is requesting for the community and here in the state. And back in the early 2000s, the state of Florida and the legislature decided to look at community colleges as a way to expand their mission into 4-year programs, and St. Petersburg College was the first in the state to do that, and I was there when that took place and transpired. And so other colleges had followed suit around the state. But when I came down for my search committee interview and was interacting with the community in one of the community forums, it was very evident that this area was ripe for the opportunity to offer expanded 4-year degrees in workforce areas. And I heard from day one of that interview process that there was a real need for nursing in this area, in particular at the Bachelor of Science in Nursing level. So once I got the job down here, that fervor didn't stop. The community continued to ask, when can we have a BSN in nursing? We really need this for the healthcare community. And fortunately, having a good board of trustees, we did some workshops and brought in some opportunities to see what was happening around the state and how we could develop this process. And within 9 months' time of my tenure, we actually had the state approval to move forward with the BSN degree. And now, yesterday, started the first classes at SCF for the BSN degree. To tell your listeners a little bit about that BSN degree and the demand and the need for this area, and that the hospitals were truly on point, we accepted in 50 new nursing students at the baccalaureate level. We had over 220 applications for 50 spots. We will continue to work with those applicants that did not get into the school this semester for future semesters, but it tells you that we, again, were really listening to the community and trying trying to meet the demand.
And you said something very interesting that I think is key and probably something our listeners need to hear and understand. You suggested that the desire to offer this four-year degree is driven by the need of the community and based on their requesting this. Because there are probably some who are skeptical of our change in growth and maybe even threatened by it and maybe think the college is moving too fast. And so I think that's something very interesting that's based on the community's need.
We truly are in a position to listen and respond to the community's need and in particular their workforce needs. When you're talking about this whole state college process, what you're basically putting into perspective is that communities have jobs that are available in certain workforce areas. And if the employers, if the EDC, if those that need to be retooled come to the college and say, we need to have a degree as the standard degree to get into this workforce area, the college can make an analysis of that, and we do that very, very well in terms of doing needs assessments and talking to the right people and knowing that there is a constituency out there to actually have as students to meet that need and the demand. And what we have found around the state is in the state college system, there are about 8,000 students statewide. Of that 8,000 students, as they've begun to graduate now to go into various workforce baccalaureate degrees, 95% of those students who graduate from a state college find jobs in the area of which they got their degree. In other words, in nursing, they go into nursing. If it's in education, they go into education. Where a lot of times when a student graduates from a university, they may choose a different job than what their degree is actually in. But I think the telling sign here is that we have the pulse of the state, and in our case at SCF, we have the pulse of the community. The whole process is community-driven. It's not that we just dream up a program one day at the college and say, let's go and try and do this. There has to be that substantiated need, and the community tells us what that is.
And Dr. Heffa, and you say so many interesting things, and I think that probably the average person who lives in our community doesn't understand the economic impact that community colleges and our community college has on the area. And I probably was one of those before I was appointed to the Board of Trustees. I really had no idea the tremendous impact that the school has. And so I think it's great that our listeners understand that the community college is not just a fallback for students, but really is a springboard to helping the community and to going on to greater things. Now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say absolutely, and in fact, I've worked with local EDCs on bringing new businesses here based on what our educational opportunities are. Mm-hmm. So it's not just fallback, it's being progressive in the ideas of if we're going to have jobs and be able to recruit industry to our area, which has economic impact throughout the Sarasota and Manatee areas, we have got to be able to turn on a dime as a college to help fulfill what their needs are and get the students educated in those areas. It's an interesting statistic, but 70% of all of our graduates leave the two-county area to go on for their degree someplace else, and it's a high percentage of those never return to the area. So by doing AS degrees and doing baccalaureate degrees, we now have the opportunity to keep these students in our local area, which helps our tax base, which helps our community flourish, which helps our building of workforce opportunities. So it's a real win-win for the community because we're keeping these students local to where they can live, work, and retire.
That's huge. And, of course, State College of Florida is now offering four-year degrees, but this is not a Sarasota-Bradenton phenomenon. This is actually happening all over the state of Florida. There have been some big changes in education in the whole state.
There has been, and again, that's the evolution of what is going on within the whole state. You've got 11 state universities that are public schools. We have a great independent college and university system where you've got private smaller schools like a University of Tampa, Eckerd College, St. Leo, and then you've got some proprietary schools as well. But what the state saw is how to best emphasize and do these workforce degrees, and they know that community colleges do what they do well. And in doing this also, what we've done and developed was the idea that by doing baccalaureate degrees at the community college, not only keeping those students home with their families, and some of them are place-bound because they have families and they've got jobs in the area, this is just another opportunity to get higher education, but we can do it at a less costly way than a university. With this, you know, the rubber hits the road here because we can do it at a cost of only $10 more per credit hour at the baccalaureate level than what we charge at the two-year level.
That's amazing.
So our rates for the bachelor's of science is somewhere in the $90 range per credit hour, where if you go off to the university, it's at least $150 per credit hour. So as you build up credit hours, that's a major cost savings to both the student and to the taxpayer. And I think that's the other important thing that gets lost in this debate, is that when people say, is this duplication or is this going to cost the taxpayer money more, the answer is absolutely not, because a taxpayer subsidizes a student at the two-year level and also at the four-year university level. At the two-year and now state college level, that cost is somewhere in the $2,000 range per student. At the university level, that's at the $5,000 level.
Wow.
So that's more money out of the taxpayers' money. So if we can do it locally and do it as good and as with the quality of a university, why not?
And Dr. Hafner, and probably our listeners are wondering, I am as well, do you think that with state colleges or community colleges becoming state colleges, is that creating any friction between universities that may be in the same area? And do some of those universities feel that maybe we're stepping out of our original mission? Is it creating some issues?
Well, it shouldn't create some issues, because the bottom line is the statute is written specifically to say that state colleges can only do workforce degrees in three areas, nursing, education, and a Bachelor of Applied Science, which covers a gambit of issues and areas. Mm-hmm. But none of those are being done at the university level for the most part. Mm-hmm. And if they are, say, like a nursing, it's because the demand's so great in Florida that they need to produce more students to get those in that career track. So it's really a balance where there is no duplication because of what you're doing to meet the demand. So I don't see that as a major concern.
Well, and of course, it makes sense. And of course, nursing is our first degree, the first bachelor's degree that we're offering. And before I went into full time ministry, I was a nursing home administrator, and so I know about the demand and the need for nurses, both in long term care and hospitals. But what's next for the State College of Florida? What other degrees are priority for us in the next few years?
Well, we're looking between four and six new degrees, and with some emphasis on the area of early childhood education, birth to four. There is not another program in the state of Florida as a standalone program. The University of Florida has a fifth year on an early childhood degree program for birth to four, and Florida Gulf Coast University has a fifth year on a early childhood degree, but there is no other standalone program. And what the state has now mandated with our VPK system, which is the early childhood point where four-year-olds can go for free because the state pays for them to get early into the school system, what is happening is all teachers are now asked to have a baccalaureate degree. So we will be on the pulse of that particular degree. We will be the only standalone degree in the state of Florida for birth to four and early childhood. And many of our community college friends and state college friends who have an AS program will be transferring their students into our BAS program, because the bottom line there is they need that baccalaureate degree. So it's a natural transfer. So that's one of the many exciting ones that we have. We're also certainly looking at public safety. Public safety is a strong degree that's necessary for advancement within our firefighters, our police, and others. Just in this area alone, we were told that about 800 people that are in the emergency services area need a baccalaureate degree. Mm-hmm. Some of them for promotional purposes to become chiefs, some of them for just promotional opportunities. And so what we're trying to do is a public safety degree that's so different than a criminology degree. At the workshops that we've held for the community, they've come in and said, we don't need a criminology degree. It doesn't get us where we want to go. We need a public safety degree. Mm-hmm. So again, we're trying to meet those needs and demands. A cutting-edge degree that we're really looking at, and if your readers have read the Sarasota Herald Tribune today, deals with energy and sustainability. And there's a whole article in the newspaper today about green jobs and things that are happening here in Sarasota. And our new baccalaureate degree, which will be cutting-edge and one of the few in the entire state, play right into that whole green movement of sustainability. And we've got a lot of things that are exciting that actually have created avenues from that degree out into the community that we could talk a whole show on some of those things.
Yeah, yeah. Now, of course, since I've been involved with the school, our enrollment has increased, and you expect it to increase even more. How are we going to serve the needs on our three campuses, and will there be a time when individuals can get their whole degree, or at least most of it, online?
Absolutely, and that's the direction we're starting to look at, is what we would actually clarify as a fourth campus called eCampus, Electronic mm-hmm. Campus. And we are putting together a program just this month to really take a good hard look and evaluate what it is that we need to be doing to be competitive in the marketplace for an eCampus. Right now, a school like Florida State College at Jacksonville has 21,000 students online. Some of them are wow. in the two-county area. St. Petersburg College has 19,000 students online. Some of them are our students right here in our own backyard who have found that that's the easiest way for them to meet their needs and college goals. So what we're trying to do is create a cutting-edge eCampus, and we do now, since I've been here, one of the first initiatives I had was to be sure that we got the full AA degree online, and it is there, but we need to do better with the support systems and things, so we're evaluating that, and I would say by next fall, we will be a major player in that area. And by doing that, we're going to be cutting-edge. We're going to do things not only where a person sits at a computer and does their class, or they see the video streaming, but we're getting into m-learning, which is mobile learning, to where just on their cell phones they'll be able to get their streaming classes and their education that Man. way, that will allow them to get it anytime, any place. And there's some real exciting things that we're doing that is actually going to let us go global, in terms of, we just received from the Gulf Coast Community Foundation of Venice about $250,000 grant to take our video streaming and eCampus initiative to the veterans worldwide, to where veterans and their families, whether they're in Afghanistan and Iraq, here in the States, will now be able to take a transitional course from our college based on the modem of either eCampus, e-learning by sitting in front of a computer, or doing it by video streaming on their telephones. And this will allow us to get into the marketplace to allow these students, veterans and families, through a free process, take the course and then decide where they want to go to school. They may stay with State College of Florida, they may choose another college or university, but because we're doing this in a module way, it's going to be a creative way to get more people to recognize who we are as a state college.
So it's conceivable now that some of our listeners in California could get their AA degree from the State College of Florida.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And eventually their baccalaureate, because some of these baccalaureate programs that we're looking at doing, including early childhood, birth to four, will have an online component.
But do you think that still in the minds of some people that a degree fully online is legit, or maybe it's not? They're not getting the full effect?
That has really evolved over the years, because there are some questions of legitimacy. There's proctoring of tests and how you go about doing that. And that's why we're bringing in the major consultant in the next couple of weeks, who has been around America and worked for the League of Innovation, to tell us exactly how best to do it, mm-hmm. how to do it with quality, how to meet standards, and how to do it better than others. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to sit down, and we are going to have input from our faculty, from our student services, from our board. We hope will participate in this event, and so that we can model what is best to keep the credibility and keep the high standards of what we now currently have, and to be able to do it efficiently and effectively online.
Yeah. Now, of course, another one of the big changes that has happened in your tenure, of course, with the scope of the college changing, and we're no longer just being a two-year school, in my mind, and I'm stressing that this is my opinion, that our name, our former name, was not reflective of who we were becoming. I assume you agree with that as well. And so we are no longer formally MCC, and that's still in the mind of a lot of people. And quite frankly, to be honest with you, I find myself saying I'm going to my MCC meeting or whatever. That's a big change. Have you found that a lot of people are still not happy about that? Or?
Well, no, I think that also has evolved as they have seen some of the great things that are going on at the school, and as we progress forward in our expansion of mission to meet the needs of the community. You and some of the others that have been in the two-county area for a long time and grew up with MCC certainly still have it in your mindset. But I will dare tell you that the students on campus see it as SCF and are very proud of the broader name and what it really brings to them in terms of credibility and recognition. And just like I said before, that Brave grant that we just got with veterans, if we were still MCC, we would not have been able to participate in that. But as State College of Florida, we're able to expand out and do things. But the one thing I do want to make perfectly clear, and I've said this since day one, we are still the MCC of old. Our two-year mission stands strong. The mission that we've had for 52 years at the two-year level with open access, with quality of educational opportunities, will stand for the next 52 years. All we have done is expanded it with some baccalaureate degrees to do the same quality of work at the four-year level that we've been renowned for doing at the two-year level. The other point I will make as the evolution and the name change occurred is the idea that over 55% of our student body, and we are over 12,000 students. An interesting fact is that when I came here, we were below 10,000 students, and in a year and a half, we've now exceeded 12,000 students. And with this growth rate, we, within the next 10 years, will double what it took 52 years to get to at 10,000. We will be at 20,000 students.
Wow.
But what that does, again, is 55% of our student body comes from outside of Manatee County. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't fair that only one name was being representative in the name of a school that had a regional perspective. And so other schools around the state certainly have changed their name, and some have just dropped community, put state in, but others are going for full name changes too. Lake City Community College is now on the docket to change to Florida Gateway College. Central Florida Community College is now changing to College of Central Florida. There's a lot of evolution that's going on.
Yeah.
But I think our board had enough perspective and saw the bigger picture to know that we not only hit a grand slam with name, or since you have a love for football, a touchdown and an extra two-point conversion, let's go there, with the name change.
And I'm still hoping we're going to have football teams today, but that's another show.
That's another show. But the bottom line is what it has done is it's developed an aura, and the students, again, are understanding. But the perspective of what we're able to do as an institution for this area now has just grown by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. We're no longer just your daddy's Oldsmobile. We're no longer just that area. While we're keeping that same structure under the hood, we're expanding out to add more to it to only help, again, the county, its students, its residents. It's all about the students, and it's all about the community as far as our perspective is.
Yeah, and I think sooner or later that SCF is going to catch on. And my mom, I think, still refers to school as MJC. So,
and people need to understand that it has evolved. It's gone through an MJC. It's gone through an MCC. And now as SCF hits the ground running, it's something that everybody can be proud of.
Dr. Hafner, when you took the helm at the school and took the reins, you were, in my opinion, had some big shoes to fill. Dr. Sarah Papps, there was a lot of growth under her leadership, but you've come and I believe taken us to the next place. But it's probably challenging in any organization of any kind to follow someone who's done well and been productive. How has that been following behind someone who's done so well?
Well, it was great, and Sarah's been great through the transition. And the bottom line was, and I thank her every time we talk, and the fact that the only reason we're able to do what we're doing now is because of the foundation she left me in. A lot of times when a new president comes into a new situation, there's a lot of filling and putting your fingers in the holes in the dam as it's starting to break because mm-hmm. there are problems that have occurred and have not been kept mm-hmm. up with. But that was not true here. She did a nice job of giving me a strong foundation from which to grow this institution. Yes, did we have budget problems when we got here? Yes, but that was not of her making or any of the past administration. That certainly was an economic making of the state and of the national level as well. Because my first 2 weeks, we did have to cut $2.4 million from the college budget in order to meet the demands last year. And what's great is we were able to do that through efficiencies and productivity opportunities. And what that allowed us to do was to make it happen without really affecting the students and hurting the process. And so we were able to go forward. But Dr. Pappas, without a doubt, had really turned the school around the corner, and now we're able to take it to new heights. And it's exciting again to have been able to come in on the back of a good foundation.
That's great, yeah. One of the things you alluded to in your opening remarks is part of your journey to get here is that you spent 12 years in the State House of Representatives representing Pinellas County, Seat 53. And I think that's one of the things that convinced me, the board members, that you were the right person for the job, because being a college president, there's a lot of politics involved. And I don't know if our average listener understands, you almost have to be a politician to do this job. How is your past really been a great asset to you in leading this school?
Well, certainly I think the president's role has evolved over the years, and the president now has to be both an external and internal president. The internal side of it is the basic structure, the institution, the academic side of the shop. The external side of the presidency is really to not only fundraise, but also to be able to work with government leaders at the local, state, and federal levels. And that's something that we're trying to take to new heights, too, as an institution. Last year in Tallahassee, even in a bad year, we were able to, as an institution, come out of it in a fairly good way, and that had to do with, I do believe, a little bit my knowledge of the background and having lived and breathed it, knowing the infrastructure, it's important. And we have a lot of great representatives and senators from this two-county area, and I think what was very nice for me is as I came back to talk with them and to go forward with some initiatives, it was like my re-entering the fraternity of being a former member to the current members. And now we have this great interaction to where some of those guys who are elected currently will run ideas by me, vice versa. And so it's created a quick, strong relationship, and we're able to get things accomplished, like the name change. When you think about that, it's taking other schools a year or so to be able to do that. That happened within a two-week period, because if we didn't get the name change done, we wouldn't be able to start the nursing students, because they wouldn't have come to a community college for a four-year degree. They needed the name change and status. I was able to relate to our delegation, and they understood the importance of doing this, and within a couple days' time, we had what the board had acted on to be codified in the legislature. And to this day, people are saying, how'd you get that done so quick? Well, it was, bottom line was, first, it was the right thing to do, and secondly, because of knowing and understanding the process, it just pays dividends.
That's great. Do you ever see yourself going back into politics again someday, or is that just a closed chapter of your life?
I truly have a job I love right now, and I think that being the president of State College of Florida is where my future is, and we will continue to move forward and do some great things with this within the community. And I truly hope to live, work, and retire here. It's because it is such a great job. And for me, coming from an educational background and a political background, I feel like it's the best of both worlds, because I still get to do things in politics and work with individuals who are elected officials, but I also have the grounding of what it means to influence students for the future in terms of giving them a quality degree and opportunity, education.
Great. Well, you're listening to WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Perspectives with Reverend Kelvin Lumpkin. The Salvation Army Center of Hope helps families with children and individuals when support from family and friends has been exhausted. The Center of Hope assists with clothing, personal items, and emergency shelter. If you or anyone you know is in need of these services, visit the Salvation Army of Center of Hope at 1400 10th Street in Sarasota, or call 954-HOPE. That's 954-4673. Help a veteran's family in the Minnesota area. A veteran's family needs a washer and dryer. If you're considering trading in your old ones, do it now and donate the old ones. Contact Devon Jarrett with Jewish Family and Community Services at 366-2224. Florida Veterans for Common Sense partners with Jewish families, Jewish Family and Community Services on various projects to help veterans in our area. We're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Lars Hafner. Another great change, I believe is a great change, that's coming for our school is, and the Board of Directors approved plans in our August meeting, plans to pursue developing a charter school Won't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is a very exciting mission expansion as well, and the fact that several of the community colleges and state colleges around Florida have created charter schools on their campus for 10th graders to 12th graders. But most of the literature that you read, studies that come out of Harvard and other areas, talk about where we really lose the student, and that's around the sixth grade level, especially when they're going going from elementary to middle school. And so what we are actually doing is looking at building a collegiate school. It will be called State College of Florida Collegiate School, and it will be for 6th graders through 12th graders. And when a student graduates from high school at the end of 12th grade, they will also simultaneously graduate with their Associate of Arts degree. So they will already have a jump on their future in terms of college or in the workforce. But what's really creative about this, too, is we're putting an emphasis on first-generation children for the school, trying to find those whose parents have not completed college, and sometimes those students run out of hope early on that they would ever mount to getting a college degree. So by doing some emphasis and recruiting in that area, we're going to bring in sixth graders to start at the sixth grade level and build them through that process with creative curriculum and creative ways to get them going up to speed with what they enjoy. We're going to put a big emphasis on technology and the resources of technology. In fact, I just returned from Apple Corporation out in California this past week, where we set down with the Apple executives, and they're very interested in coming in and giving us the technology necessary to make this collegiate school a success. They know that it's the first one in the country, and the first one in the country to be a charter school, grade 6 through 12, run by a college on a college campus. There are schools that are on college campuses, but they're run by a different entity. And so being the first in the country... The first in the country. What is exciting about this is people want to tie themselves to the recognition that will be given to this kind of charter, because not only will we be strong in technology, but again, there will be a college degree as an outcome when a student graduates. We have worked with people from around the world to try to get the right curriculum, to get things up and going, so these students will not only have the best of the best and the chance for success, but again, emphasizing first generation, what we get from that as well is parents who may not be up to date on what is the technology that their child's using within the school. So the college can come in and help educate some of the parents and get them up to speed on technology. So there's a lot of things that come from this perspective that's going to be a win-win for our community. But most importantly, the outcome of the students.
Have you found some concern among people that the college is maybe stepping out of bounds or getting out of its lane with this charter school?
Well, again...
And what would you say to those individuals?
I would say this is part of our mission in terms of the community and educational opportunities. We're giving students an opportunity, again, for greater success that may not have that same success. And by offering up a college degree by the end of high school, it gives them a jump start on the future. And again, if you look at those statistics and you see how many students we lose in the sixth grade, it's we'll be able to turn around some of these students and have greater success stories. You know, it's one thing to do what some other colleges have done with a collegiate school at the high school level from 10th to 12th, where you get sometimes they're saying, well, you'll cherry pick the best students for success. Well, at the sixth grade level, you don't know who those students are, so you can't be saying, well, you'll cherry pick them. But the flip side of that is that it also gives us an opportunity to work with these students that come in, and this is based on the lottery. So it's not like we can go out and pick the students. The students will have to apply, and then it will be done randomly through a lottery to build our student body.
Well, very good. So now you also suggested the priority will be for first-generation students who will go into college, is that correct?
That's correct. And this, again, is because a lot of those students, and the literature will back this up, is you have... seeing that a lot of these students will not have that ambition necessarily simply because their parents never went to college or never had the chance to go to college. So we're getting them on a different track and hopeful track of success.
So how many students, and first of all, tell our listeners when this school plans to open and how many will be in the first class?
We will plan to open upon the approval process of the Manatee County School Board. We will plan to open in August of 2010, so in just a few, eight months from now. And we will start with a group of 6th and 7th graders, and there will be 66 in each of those two classes. When the school fills out from 6th grade to 12th grade, there will be no more than 450 students in the school. But we will start with the first couple grades and then average everybody in as time goes on.
Wow. Now, of course, we're at the end of some bad economic times. We're seeing some signs of life in the economy, mm-hmm. and I hope that we're coming out of this dark place. But there's been a lot of funding for education, and of course, our school has been no exception. We've been affected by it. Do you have any concerns about the future and our future viability and our ability to serve our community?
Well, I think my perspective and our board's perspective, which has been great through this whole time, is that if you build the infrastructure for the future in bad economic times, you're going to come out of the bad times in a better shape than those that are saying, woe me, during this time, and then having to catch up with the curve of what missed opportunities occurred over the years of the economic problems. So what we have done basically is, again, through efficiencies and productivity, we have created opportunities for us to build and weave some great infrastructure opportunities, whether it be four-year, whether it be the collegiate school, whether it be enhancement of some of our own AS programs. We're looking at putting some new AS programs in to meet the needs of the community as well. So, you know, the way I look at it, and I hope the community looks at it as well, is that we're doing great things in bad economic times. Think what we're going to be able to do when it gets to be good economic times. You know, we will have so much potential to do so much more. So it's very exciting. I do talk about productivity, and I think this is always interesting to share with your listeners, is when we talk about productivity, what we're talking about really is not raising the caps on our classes, because one of the great things we do within our courses at the college is we keep the student-teacher ratio at a very low level. And so one of the things I had told the faculty is I wouldn't raise caps on them to meet the needs of what's going on with the economy. But what we did do is increase the productivity in the classroom. If the classroom was going to be 25 students to one instructor, what was happening before I got here was a lot of those classes could be run at 70% full. What we have done is up the standard now to 95% full. So by doing that, we have saved the college each semester well over $200,000.
Wow.
Just by putting more bodies into the classroom under the caps that already existed.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, and as you said, even though we're in bad economic times, the demand for our school and our services hasn't ceased, and we're continuing to grow and even thrive during these difficult times. Mm-hmm. How are we going to – are our campuses big enough to handle the growing demand, and what upcoming construction projects are being planned to help better serve our students?
Well, what's great about this is we are still looking to the future and being creative with a new library building potentially on the Bradenton campus. We're looking at science and some other buildings on the Venice campus. We just now are completing a great new green building, a LEEDS building, out on our Lakewood Ranch campus that has a medical simulation center that is cutting edge, high technology, and green. And so this will now become a showpiece for a lot of people to come and see that new building as we open it up, and I think it will be April, and we'll start with classes in there probably this summer to show people not only how you build an efficiently green building for cost savings, but also how you can equip it with strong technology. And in the nursing area, when people go in there, they'll see the second floor of this particular building is set up like a hospital. So, and with the simulators that we have in there that look as real as people look, it will be fascinating to showcase. But more importantly, it'll be great for our students to have that hands-on opportunity to be educated.
Now, it looks like our Venice campus has the potential to possibly become the biggest of all the three campuses. What are some plans for down south?
Well, right now we're working with the city of Northport on a very exciting project dealing with some economic development for setting up an eco-development center or an environmentally sensitive center down there, to where we are going to start putting emphasis on energy technology, and doing the things that are necessary to give students an opportunity to either get a certificate to retool themselves in energy, an AS degree, or a baccalaureate degree in energy technology. We have looked up at creating a development center out close to I-75 off of Toledo Blade, which will be an opportunity for businesses to send some of their employees to that center, as well as expansion on our Venice campus by the city of Northport, giving us more land to expand the Venice Center, which we will use in some cases for some green buildings, including a living laboratory where people can come in to actually see how they might want to retool their house. If they want to pull out their kitchen and change it to an environmentally sensitive kitchen, we will have that through our living laboratory. And what we want to do is really sell local products. We want local developers, we want local installers to be part of this living laboratory, to where they come in and show what happens and what the possibilities are, but our students can also run that living laboratory. So there's some really cool things going on.
Do you think it's possible, Dr. Hafner, that in the very near future that our e-campus is going to be the biggest of all, that we'll have more students online than we actually do physically on our campuses?
There's that possibility, absolutely, especially, again, with the global perspective, as more people, the boundaries are unlimited. You know, we will try and we will stay marketing within our two-county area, which is what we should do. But, you know, sometimes quality and reputation enhances itself, and as we do these things with the military and others, people will be looking to this college as a great place to get an education. So whether they're in Manatee or Sarasota or in Indiana or California or someplace else in the world, it might give them the opportunity through our M-Learning or through our e-campus to be able to expand their educational opportunities. So the growth is there, and people say, you know, how are you handling this growth? You went from less than 10,000 to 12,000 students now. Isn't that putting a demand on your building? Well, you know, part of that whole process is that an e-campus takes some of that stress off our buildings and our people on site, because by doing e-campus, more can stay home or do their degree without actually coming to site.
Dr. Hafner, if you had to grade the State College of Florida and to be very objective about our school, what do you think? There's some things we get A's in and some things maybe we're getting C's or D's, and some things we can do better.
Well, I think right now, again, in building the infrastructure to meet the demands of the strength of our student enrollment, I think where we need to get better, and it's an economic issue, is truly to be sure that our student services are being met, and they do a tremendous job. We have, I think, some of the best student services employees of any college I've ever seen, but it stretches them, because there are more students coming to the doors asking for more things, and as this world continues to change and people become more media savvy, they ask for more things because they think they are to be guaranteed some more things. So it stresses the area a little bit, and I think we need to be sure that we are giving them all the tools necessary, because they're on the front lines with our students every day, and we want to be sure that we shore up that area of things to strengthen our hand to interact with the students. And there's creative ways to do that too, through even cyber advising, so that we can do some things online with some of our students. We do offer some mental health coverage where other colleges don't do that for our students. We want to be student friendly at all times, and we need to continue to work on that and to enhance that area. I think as far as some of the dynamic things that we're doing, our faculty is second to none. They are quality. They get an A++ in terms of, you never hear anything bad about them. Students just really respect the work that they do, and the things that they do are just tremendous. And so I believe we've got a very strong and efficient faculty. And then again, I'll give a nod to the career service folks too, because not only do they make our facilities nice and clean, but they do the daily things of bookkeeping. They do the things that we could not be able to do the things we do if it wasn't for all those individuals behind the scenes, and in some case on the front lines, working hard for the college. So I certainly give them an A++ too. So the college is moving in the right direction. Again, given the good foundation that we had, there's only exciting things to come. And I like to tell people and say to people, stay tuned, because you're not quite sure what will happen tomorrow. But the one thing I can promise you is we'll be on the cutting edge of some kind of great opportunity that meets the needs of the community. And that's what it's all about.
Dr. Hafner, when you've completed your tenure at State College of Florida, and we hope that's a long, long time from now, and I believe it probably will be a good ways from now, what do you want to have accomplished? What do you want SCF to look like when you've stepped down from being president of the college?
Well, again, I think I wanted to have the reputation of meeting the community's needs and demands, that if anyone in the community can say, if we need something, go to SCF. They can do it. They can do it in a quick, efficient way that gives us the results that we want for this community. And I think that would be the greatest thing, is to continue the reputation of producing students who can go on to get their baccalaureate degrees and graduate degrees, because we gave them the strong foundation of education here, but also, again, to also turn on the dime for our businesses and others to retool their employees to be successful into the future. So I think as long as we continue to work and meet with the demands of the community, that's the best thing that could happen, because we are the economic engine. We are a driver in that train, and that's what I want people to recognize, is that because we have a local board who can make decisions relatively quick and give me the freedom and flexibility to go out and implement, we have ways to do things that I think are untapped. And certainly some of the things you've seen in my first 18 months here are untapping some of those resources and opportunities, and I think there's a lot more to be done. So how that will finally be written in the years to come when I finally decide to retire, who knows, but I just hope it's great for the community, and the community feels good about its institution, because we are the largest, the oldest, the biggest, and will continue to grow and do the things necessary.
So what do you see as, and of course you've done a great job today as talking about all the opportunities that we have before us, what do you think are the biggest challenges we're going to face in, let's say, the next 10 years?
Well, I think the evolution of how education is being delivered, there's no question that it continues to change dramatically. And again, we need to stay up on the cutting edge of that to give our people the right resources and the tools to be able to meet the demands, whatever those demands look like and whatever those changes are. So we'll need to stay on the cutting edge, because I believe in the cutting edge. I believe everything's possible as long as we're doing it in a diligent way. We can succeed and be the best that anyone can be. You know, we want this reputation of this institution to be the reputation that makes these counties proud and that can continue to expand to do great things. So I think that's kind of where we're looking at. But, you know, I also want to go back, because I think one of the other exciting things we haven't talked about, and it's just a little bit of a plus for the college, is we are a full-service college, and the fact that we also offer opportunities in athletics. And we have some great athletes that come, and our GPA of our student athletes who graduate have continued to rise over the period of time. We just expanded into women's tennis, and I think we just got the best of the best. We just hired Betsy Nagelson McCormick as our new women's tennis coach. And let me tell you what that brings to us. Not only instant credibility, but someone who enjoys working with students and working with people in a lot of positive ways. And she will be an inspiration to a lot of our students, but it will bring us instant success on the tennis court. And with IMG being across the street from our Bradenton campus, some of the new partnerships we're going to be able to interact with them on is an untapped resource that I think when this community sees what we're doing with IMG and IMG with us, will again turn a lot of heads, because they'll say, wow, how come we've never put that partnership together in the past? That's what we're all about, is strength of partnerships, doing what's right, and moving forward.
I'm going to say this in closing because our time is almost up. I'm mentoring a young man who has great potential to go one way or the other. His grades aren't the best they could be, and I was sharing with him one day that he has aspirations to go play big-time college basketball. And I share with him one day that, hey, listen, man, whether you go here, you can also go to State College of Florida. It's a great opportunity. But in his mind, he kind of saw the community college as kind of a fallback, a plan B. And being on the board for these last 6 or 7 years has shown me that it's so much more than that. What would you say to students who think like that about community colleges and about our school?
I would say that we give them the strongest foundation, the strongest chance for success, because by coming to us with our individualized help, with our teacher-student ratios, with the opportunities for us to get them through coursework for success, it's the biggest bonus to stay local and do that process. And of course, I can speak from being a student in a community college system, that our students also leave and go onto the university and perform better at the university than the native students who start at the university. And that's a real tribute, again, to our faculty and our success rates. In terms of something like basketball, because I'm one that played college basketball, went to the two-year and then to the four-year, the bottom line there is because I got this great academic background at the two-year, I was able to blend quickly into the four-year institution and continue to play at a high rate. And so a student shouldn't look at it as demeaning, because we do have players that go from the community college into either the pros or into the university level. James Life was a student here at the college before I got here in basketball and is now playing pro ball in Europe. So the talent level and all the number one draft choices that we've gained out of baseball at our college, you know, there's opportunity. But for our student athlete, they've got to understand, first and foremost, that a pro career probably isn't going to happen. You know, it's a very, very small tenth of a percent of athletes that get success. So the education is what it's all about. And if we can give you the firm foundation from which to grow and get a career because you've got strength of knowledge through our educational process, that's the way to go. And you'll appreciate the way we handle students at the two-year level.
And I think one of the main things you said that I think is very interesting is that colleges, the students rather, who go to our school or community colleges actually go on to do better. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of our students, and it might have been just before you got to our school, actually went on to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how he's doing, but I would imagine he's probably doing quite well. And there's so many stories like that.
There are. I mean, people were surprised, but we do have students who graduate and go on to Ivy League schools. Mm-hmm. And I think what you're really going to see is out of our collegiate school, you're going to see more and more of that too, that when they graduate one week with their high school diploma and the next with their college diploma, you will see people going to Ivy League schools and that caliber of schools because we're giving them a chance and an opportunity.
Well, Dr. Happner, we thank you so much for coming on the show. There's some great things. I'm excited about the future of State College of Florida. A lot of great things happening. And to all of our listeners, we hope that you'll partner with us and be a part of all the great things that are happening. So, Dr. Happner, thank you for coming on the show. Is there any parting words, any last thing you want to say to our listeners?
Well, I appreciate the job that you and the board do. I don't know that the listeners understand fully and appreciate fully what our appointed board does in giving of their time to help run the college. And we have a 9-person board, and each of these board members are dedicated, take the time and the knowledge to gain information about what it is and brings it to the table to gives us the foundation from which to grow. So thank you.
And one last thing, Dr. Hamden. Do you think next year or the next 2 years the Miami Dolphins will make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, they're going to have to play better in the early parts of the games because, as we saw towards the end here, they got too much of a deficit towards the end of the game and then were able to try to make it up. But
just be careful what you say. I might not invite you back on.
Well, aqua and orange.
Thanks, Dr. Happner, for coming on the show today. And to all of our listeners, I'm so happy to let you know that this is the first ever Perspective show that will be podcast. You can visit our website, WSLR.org. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll join us on the 20th of this month, January 20th, at 10 a.m., and our guest will be City Commissioner Kelly Kirshner. And so thank you for listening to Perspectives. Radio Dave is coming up. He always has a great show. And you be blessed and have a great day.